Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks, publisher of Wall Street Reporter. And today I'm speaking with Greg Jarman. He's the CEO of Omnicity, which trades on the bulletin board. The stock symbol is OMCY. And Omnicity is a fast-growing provider of broadband internet access in rural areas. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Jack. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah. So, Greg, let me ask you, what makes the rural broadband market such a compelling growth opportunity for Omnicity?
Well, we find it to be compelling for a couple of reasons. One, we partner with rural providers of other utility services, whether it's a rural telco or a rural electric company. And when we started doing that, we started evaluating the market and saw that there were 42 million homes and businesses currently served by rural electric cooperatives in the U.S. And that's how the value of that market space really started to come to fold, because many of those folks, many of these co-op members and constituents of these utilities don't have the services that others that live in the metropolitan areas have come to enjoy. So that 42 million homes is our target space, and it's much larger than what most people think that market space really is. And the way you do business in the rural market space, the way you market in rural market space, is drastically different than what you do in the urban areas. So we saw that as an opportunity to really be the preeminent provider of services in the rural space, and to really provide focus to that market that has been ignored for the most part to this point in time. Many of the larger phone companies and cable companies, they don't care to extend themselves out beyond the city limits with broadband services. And the rural cooperatives, just as they were built 100 years ago to provide electricity into the rural space of the United States, it was a growth spurt for them, and now you look years later, they're collectively probably the largest power provider in the country.
Okay, and so from what I understand, Omnicity is essentially using the roll-up strategy to grow via acquisitions of these other, I guess, rural broadband providers. Is that right?
Sure. We have two key components to our growth. One is that acquisition, that consolidation of the rural WISP or wireless ISP market space. And secondly, is just a true organic growth once that acquisition takes place. Many of these companies, when the acquisition, they've hit the wall in terms of size, and they're looking for a way to exit. And in a private company working 16 hours a day, it's a real tough job to do that. And so what Omnicity brings to them is a way to exit and get a reward for those years of hard work and building up the customer base. So they get that exit strategy that they're looking for. And then what Omnicity can also provide is the capital and the both from an intellectual and human capital standpoint, in addition to a financial capital to grow those markets and fill those out organically through the traditional field level grassroots efforts of marketing and deploying. So we think that the organic growth absolutely complements the acquisition of these rural telcos, rural providers. The other thing that is important to note is this is nothing new. This is not anything that we have created when you look back to the dial-up days and then the DSL days and cable television and even cellular telephone. All those industries went through a consolidation effort.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, that happened exactly with cable in these areas.
Yes. Yeah, it's all been done before, and so our management team has been through that POP process. I've been through it with the dial tone and the dial up in the 1990s, and our chief operations officer David Bradford was part of the Chicago Tribune that went through and did the roll up of the cable television throughout the 70s and early 80s. And so we understand that consolidation effort and what's required there, and saw that the WISP market space focused on the rural area was a really good time to do that now.
Now, let me ask you, you mentioned WISP. So the acquisitions you're making, are they actually all wireless internet providers?
Not all, but what we're capitalizing on is there's thousands of the wireless ISPs across the country today. If you don't live in the rural market space, you probably don't even know that they exist. But thousands of these companies exist today throughout the U.S. Every state has them. Some of them are servicing small towns. Some of them are focused on businesses. Many of them, and most of them, are focused on a rural residential slash, you know, small business play. And so they're throughout, and we see a significant number of opportunities for acquisitions nationwide.
Okay, so typically, what's the size of your typical acquisition?
Well, they're across the board. We've acquired companies with a couple of hundred accounts. We've acquired companies at 1,500 to 1,600 customer accounts. And so what we've been focused on is not so much the size of the entity to this point in time, but more where they're located and what their infrastructure looks like. And so we're in an amoeba-like fashion looking for acquisitions that are on the fringe of our network area, and then build out from there so that we can immediately bring economies of scale, backhaul services, support services, installation and field management. We can provide all those things because we're not just throwing a dart at a map and picking one up 600 miles away. We're being very creative in targeting those that are close. So those acquisitions are across the board in size.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand that. The size... The customer base is not as important as you mentioned the technological fit, or can you explain that?
It's got to be a strategic fit. You know, if there is 200 customers bringing in $8,000 or $10,000 a month in revenue, and they're right on the edge of our existing network, it's very easy for us to bring that acquisition into our network, tie it into our existing infrastructure, and reduce their costs immediately. If we were to go out and buy a company 600 miles or 1,000 miles away, there would be very little that we could do other than maybe your financial and billing applications to cut out some cost. Because you'd still have to have all the management in place to manage it that far away. So we've been very strategic in making sure that these early acquisitions are near our existing network. What we do going forward, though, is we look for that professionally, and we're in this process right now, we look for that professionally managed larger WISP in a little farther distance out, you know, 500 miles out and less. And we're now looking for those kinds of acquisitions that allow us to pick that entity up, provided the legal resources and the financial resources to continue to do the acquisitions as we're doing in Indiana and surrounding states today. So we're doing our consolidation effort in a very strategic way, and not just throwing a dart at a map and saying that one looks good.
Okay, let's talk about how you create value and actually integrate these acquisitions. One of the things you mentioned was cost saving. So how does that work? Walk us through some of the ways you integrate and bring about that value.
Well, there's a number of ways. We create value first and foremost in reducing cost. So when we bring a new acquisition in, we're targeting a 50% to 70% margin on that business coming in post deal. So as you bring in that revenue source or that acquisition, we want to see a significant bump in our positive cash from that deal. And we do that through a number of ways. One, reduction of overhead from a management level. We can because they're nearby, we can clear that cost out. Reduction in potentially the costs of connectivity from the outside providers, providing them internet services and customer support. We handle that for them. So we see cutting costs as one way. Then the second area besides cost cutting that we do is we provide other services and value adds that can be placed on top of that. So VoIP service can be added to it, web hosting services, and an array of other things that we can provide get added onto that to create more value.
Okay. How big is the in dollar terms? As you mentioned, there's 40 million homes that are in this rural market. What is the size of this market in dollar terms?
The size of this market is in the billions. I mean, this is a billion dollar market. The 42 million homes makes this market enormous. And it also is included in a much higher level in that we also provide other services other than just the residential and business communications. There's industrial applications that we then apply to it. For example, as we go into a particular area, we put in water meter reading capabilities to reduce costs of the water meters and how they're monitored. We do a number of different things that allow us to increase the revenue of that particular market space, not just with the consumer or the business's internet access. This market's enormous.
Okay. So once you have that wireless infrastructure, you mentioned these other meter reading, so there's other opportunities there.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that Omnisci is truly focused on is we partner with these markets. We don't just provide services and then walk away. We provide services to whether it's the rural electric or the municipal electric, to the cities and towns and the water districts. We become an advocate of that city area, and we do it through people who are already operating in that business sector. It's a local presence. Partnered with Omnisci to provide services that are far greater than just an internet provider from 1,000 miles away.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, in terms of what is the typically the acquisitions that you're making now, what are they typically in terms of revenues? I mean, I think you've done about five of these in the last 5 months.
Yeah, we see them being between $300,000 and $600,000 in revenue annually that we're bringing in. Some of them are smaller, some of them are bigger. The target going forward is significantly larger than looking backward. As we grow, the size and the future acquisition grows along with us. So we're seeing that those acquisitions are getting larger, not smaller. And that will continue to be the case as we mass ourselves up.
So it looks kind of like a hub and spoke approach. You're looking to acquire sort of these other platforms, if you will, in other rural areas, so you can add on. You can then use those to pick up some of the smaller surrounding ISPs.
That is absolutely the case. What we look for example, in Indiana. We have purchased, half a dozen or so acquisitions around us and integrated those into our network. And we cover from the Indiana border to Indiana-Illinois border to the Ohio border, from one side of the state to the other. Now we're looking at acquisitions in both Illinois and Ohio and doing the exact same replication and cookie cutter, that same approach in their states, and building out their market space so that the customer eventually will have roaming capabilities from one market to the next.
And how, again, it's become a pretty mature industry. How many of these ISPs, are out there in your target area?
Well, our target area is the United States. The whole U.S. is our target. It's being eaten in smaller bites. The expectation is that there are around 3,500 wireless ISPs out there today operating out there. There is no clean authority on that exact number, but from our estimates, there's about that many, 3,500 WISPs in the market today. And, mm-hmm. And in most cases, these guys are also serving some DSL and some dial-up as well. And we take those customers on as well.
And so the consolidation opportunity, I would see, is basically, like, as you mentioned, Dave, yeah, they've been running this business for a while, and they're looking for an exit, and you're there to make them a deal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We as a public company give them a vehicle to take some equity out of their business and cash that in at some point in time. It gives them that capability. As a private company, there's oftentimes a real struggle for them looking forward. When are these long days going to end? And when am I going to actually be able to cash out instead of just getting a paycheck? So we see it as that is one of the key reasons why companies look to us to say, all right, this makes a good deal because we are public. That's very important to the process.
Okay. Now, Omnicity is a relatively young company. How long have you guys been around?
Well, we started in 2003. We actually back in the mid 90s, we bought a company in 2003 and to form the Omnicity. Prior to that, it was called Circle City Wireless. In 2003, we launched it with a rural focus, starting in markets throughout northern Indiana. And in 2009, just earlier in February, we took the company public. It took us about 9 months to go through that process and get it all done, specifically with the expectation that we were going to consolidate these market spaces. The key to this is that the rural market space was going to be a good fit for us. It was long before President Obama came out with a stimulus package that we came about and we're focused on rural telecommunications. So we started this last year, and I think it was very fortuitous for us to be in a position to hopefully capitalize on some of those stimulus efforts.
Well, that's actually interesting. The I guess Obama has made the sort of rural broadband kind of an important issue. Is there anything in that stimulus package that is going to benefit your market?
Well, there has been $7.2 billion set aside specifically for rural broadband, for the deployment and build-out of rural broadband. And we expect to apply for some of those funds. And we think that our mantra of bringing broadband to the heartland and that our focus and our efforts and our public status will provide us with some compelling reasons why we should participate in those grants on low interest loans. So it's our hope that we will participate and we will file. We'll just have to keep our fingers crossed and hope that we're looked on favorably.
Okay. Maybe you can talk a little bit about your background. You mentioned briefly that the team has had experience in different roll-ups in the past. So maybe you can tell us about your background and some of the key members of your team.
My background is I graduated from Indiana Central University and was a software developer for many years. Got into the dial-up internet business in 1994 out of a need for internet service in the community where I lived in. In about 5 months from the time that we started this service, specifically to cut my own long distance, we had amassed up enough customers that I no longer did the software development and focused solely on rural broadband, rural internet services, dial-up services. Built that company up. Sold it off in the consolidation efforts in the late 90s, and then started DSL services in our community and expanded that for a few years and participated in that same consolidation. Sold it off, and then now we stepped into the wireless ISP market space and doing it again. So my background for the last 10-15 years has been in the internet business, solely focused on that. And the
you've actually been on the other side of the table, actually, as you know, building an ISP and then selling it to a consolidator.
Absolutely, on a couple occasions, and then that whole process, it teaches you a lot. I mean, I've been through the early days of support and home visits and providing service. We've been through all that on a number of occasions, and kind of understand what the exit strategy is for a small business. So we're trying to provide that landing zone for them.
All right. And who are some of the other members of your team?
We have David Bradford. I mentioned him. He's the president or the chief operations officer of our company. David is been around for a long time in this business, has spent much of his career in the MMDS wireless area, and most notably in the roll-ups of cable television companies. And so he has a significant operational background, providing that strategy of bringing in a company, integrating it into the fold of our organization, and then squeezing out the economies of scale to get the best value out of the company which we can. That's his background, and it's significant. Folks can kind of see our corporate history and background online, but he is a key component. We have a number of others. We have a director of acquisitions who's got a significant legal background. We have, VP of sales and David Waddell, who's been kind of a visionary of municipal services for small towns. So I think we got a well-rounded team that can really support where we're going with this business.
Okay.
I would add Don Prest is our CFO. Don is a has spent many years in the public sector auditing public companies. And I don't know how many hundreds of companies he's spent auditing from a public company standpoint. But we were very fortunate to get FBP Capital on board, and then Don Prest came aboard as our CFO to manage us and to make sure we're staying compliant with all our filings. He's a great addition to our team.
Okay. Greg, where do you see Omnicity, let's say the next 3 years? What is the big picture going to look like?
Well, we believe that we can expand our services into the greater part of the Midwest. We see great opportunities beyond that. But we see ourselves becoming the preeminent provider of rural telecommunications. We think that is our charter. And we see that from a visionary standpoint, it's coming true. The acquisitions are out there. We're finding that they're proving out in our model, and that it's nothing short of execution that gets that done. The opportunity is there.
And okay, in terms of what do you see in terms of revenues, even earnings, if you can make that projection?
Well, we have a some public documentation is going to come out on that here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll post that. We have done that in the past, and we've gone through some significant increases in our plan. So I'll reserve judgment on that just for a few days, but the folks out there can kind of keep an eye on us over the next few weeks. You'll see some significant information that'll hit there that's got our plan well defined.
Okay. How about maybe just from a shorter term perspective, what are some of the key milestones that investors can look out for over the next 6 to 12 months, since you guys are doing so many acquisitions?
No, I think some key milestones should be the continuation of our acquisition strategy. We'll start to disclose in greater detail the organic growth and the potential there. I think you're going to see the borders of Indiana significantly breached on all four sides. We expect to be providing services in Michigan, Illinois, Kentucky, and Ohio yet this calendar year. So I think you're going to see that just that swelling of the coverage area grow. I think that the revenues will grow consistent with that, and we'll be very opportunistic. I think there's a number of opportunistic acquisitions out there as well, and those are the ones that I think that can really fuel the growth of the company. And so that's a good thing. The other thing that I think you'll see from us is we're putting together a private placement memorandum that will be used to truly fund the next round of significant acquisitions that'll be released and available, and will show our direction from that standpoint. So I think there's a lot of good things coming.
Okay. Finally, why should investors, buy your stock today?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. I think this is the perfect time for a company like ours. The perfect time because the U.S. government, both Congress and our president, see the value and the need for rural broadband to be deployed nationwide. Fair access, equal access to all. So that's good timing for us. I think we put together a quality team. I think we put a team together that has been there and done this before, and will be successful at doing it again. I think that the model in itself, our business model of both organic growth and acquisition growth, is a proven model in telecommunications over the last 30 years, and it will prove out again. Just with a different company. So I think there's a number of reasons there. I think the other real reason is there's a compelling demand for more and more and more services in the rural markets. People don't want to find themselves having to move simply because they can't get the services they need. And if there's a quality company, a quality product out there, they want to use it, want to purchase services from there. And it's becoming a decision on where you live. I've heard many a times in the rural space, I'd love to move to that particular location or over to this area, but I got to have broadband. I got to have high speed. And that's becoming more and more problematic for people in the rural market space today. And we see ourselves as that kind of company that can fill that demand. So I think those are just a few reasons. Another reason, I think we will provide a good return on our shareholders' investments. I think over time, this company will continue to grow and to squeeze out efficiencies as we do acquisitions that provides a nice return. And I think that's the most compelling reason for all.
Okay. And great. So, I'm sure our audience looks forward to following your progress in the coming months, and we'll be doing an update later.
That sounds great, Jack. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All righty.